This is season 6, episode 3 of the Decoder podcast, also known as episode 211. Clough, I think I'm going to start doing that. I think I'm going to start tagging the big number just for fun so that we can celebrate. Like when we get to 223, it's a huge milestone. We can celebrate when we get to 246. If we get to 246, another huge milestone.
When?
Okay. I know. So I might continue to do this. Let's see if I can build this into my routine.
All right.
So this is going to be a short one today because we had our, well, we're doing this earlier today.
Yeah.
Because I've got
welcome, a, I welcome got to all dad. Our listeners. Welcome. Yeah. Thanks for getting up early with us. Yep. Anyone in the queue? Nobody's in the queue. Okay. That's all right.
Bro, I mean, what would we wouldn't know what to do if there was a ton of people in the queue. Well, we don't need to do anything. We just keep going with our flow, but
I would love. It'd be awesome. Remember back in the day, it'd be like lining up for the new iPhone. Lining up for the new iPhone. I don't know. I wonder when they peaked. When would they have peaked?
Did you ever do that? Did you line up for your iPhone?
No.
Oh, okay. Neither did I.
I don't. You know my lineup. I told you the thing, my new lineup mania, the new thing I'm doing. No, I'm not. I would say one of my single most powerful social aversions. And if someone were to ask me to go do a thing, the first thing that occurs to me is they're going to be lineups. Hands down. It's not, it's like, you know, I might not want to be around all those people, all those groups of people, all the like masses of people. But as a singularity, the first thing that occurs to me as far as assessing whether or not that activity is for me is, are there lineups? And I kind of work outward from there. So I was not ever the person. I wasn't even the person to send someone to stand in line for me. I was that empathetic. I would not even send someone to stand. And it probably also, here's the other thing too. I have a deep dislike of people holding spots for people in line. I don't even care. I don't even care if it's you, Chids. I don't care if it's just you and then all of a sudden your family shows up and I know it. Cause I'm like, hey, there's your family. I'm still going to have a little bit of summer. I'm like, that was one person in front of me. Now it's four. It's a bias that I can't shake. I feel the heat on that one.
I'm writing this down. Chris can't do lineups.
I can't do lineups. Now, I've also told you my new thing. I don't know. I dropped it in a polo. I'm not standing in lines for any longer than 30 seconds.
You told me that and I literally burst out laughing. So I'm driving and you tell me and I'm just, bah! 30 seconds. Whatever.
Am I 30 second lineups and 15 minute meetings?
And I'm like, education is either going to break you or you're going to get fired. Like, that's just the funny things in my mind because I can see you being in a meeting and being like, looking at your watch and you're like, I'm out.
I am. And so I get it that when I have agency, this is what I'm going to aim to do. I also recognize I'm not going to be, you know, in the middle of my TPA and I'm like, I'm out. Part of it is, okay, I'm cavalier with the language. I wouldn't dismiss the moment. Like I understand the social queuing systems and being polite and professional. So it's not like I'm just going to get up robot like and walk out of the meeting after 15 minutes. I would say when I have agency, like for example, I guess I'm the lead for our school is we're trying to get off the ground a student leadership group. So like peer leaders. I pitched it last year. I had been a part of student council. I think I would rather have a direct, kind of like a direct resource to do things in the school that aren't necessarily about let's create a school spirit event, like nothing that's sort of not a part of the governing body, but the actually on the ground doing stuff, being visible parent teacher night, supporting events that are created, right? Being able to demonstrate the kind of the glue of the school. I wanted to be in that space. So when I I got, there's some teachers, three other teachers that are part of it. And I scheduled the first meeting and it was from 12 to 12:15. Yeah, but the notes that were already in there were like a full page. They're asking, how are we going to get through all this? So they're like, they'd see me in the hall. They're like, okay, that's all important stuff. You know, how does that look in a 15-minute meeting? I said, because you come prepared to make decisions. That's where we're coming together. Make decisions and do something in that moment. And I said, and it won't be us sitting side by side, elbow partners, and doing our homework. We're going to do that away from that thing. I mean, you could choose to sit there. I had that in my classroom. I said, we can meet anywhere, but my classroom's free. I said, you can choose to sit and keep working. I said, but after 15 minutes, I got other stuff I got to do. And we're trying to do it. Our first meeting, first organizational meeting, was like 16 minutes long. Someone rolled in the last 3 minutes. They said, what did I miss? And what was funny is all three of us kind of just looked at the person and then went back to the meeting. And the person sat down. They're kind of laughing. They're like, okay, I'll look at the notes, because everything was in the notes. Right away in that meeting, we established that I would be the admin and the admin and guidance liaison. So if there was something that needed to be discussed with them, they would do it. Someone else is on comms, so they're managing the Google Classroom and direct communication with the kids. Somebody else is doing the administrative secretarial work, as in taking the notes, kind of writing, if we're doing a slide deck, they're getting that rolling on the paperwork. And somebody else is the clubs and groups connection. So how does our group kind of connect with others and kind of talk to those other teachers? Boom, boom, boom. Set the assignment, go. The one we just had yesterday, it was 18 minutes. But I'll say what we got done in that 18 minutes, I'm proud of. And we walked away clear. That's the other thing too. It's not like people are like, it wasn't like getting off Goliath at Wonderland and your head's still spinning. Head was spinning, but it came to rest in the right direction. And then we all went out. And you know, dude, you know, here's something. What do people typically look like after they come away from a professional meeting?
They're drained.
We're all walking out of this space because we're like laughing, joking, bouncing. It was a very different vibe, dude. Now I'm not saying like that's just because they got to hang out with me and I'm funny. I'm saying is because it was very much we in the meeting, and I've talked about this in a different way. That idea of making change when you have the energy, like the cycle of change, and you have the upswing and the downswing. You need to launch when you're hitting the upswing, right? You need to sort of, and I think that's what we were doing. The 15 minute didn't allow us to fall back into that lull where you're just like slowly packing up your stuff. Like they literally, now they could have been also packing up stuff because they had to get to other places potentially, but we're still talking and laughing and chatting, not about meeting stuff, but just about stuff. So there was a really good vibe. So that's my one thing professionally, but that's only when I have agency. For example, this Friday, we have a staff meeting. What I will do though, I'm going to make sure of, and I did this at our last staff meeting, is I have my timer on my watch set for 15 minutes. And every 15 minutes, I'm getting up and stretching and just kind of moving around a little bit. I might go get the water, maybe go have a quick pee. Like I'm not going to professionally, this is how you can professionally manage your time inside somebody else's agency. And so I'm looking for these little moments, right? And I'm not looking to sort of like burn down the system, but I'm really trying to pay attention to what I've learned about being in education for almost 20 years and not letting that go. The other far out thing though, about the 30 second lineups, that's an exercise just for me, because I say I don't like lineups, but I have stood in line for like a coffee. I have stood in line for, it tends to all be food related now that I kind of, but I have stood in line for the thing. And I think to myself, the automaticity and the mental flat line that happens when you're standing in a line, I don't like it. I realize I don't like that. I like being engaged with something, and I don't want it to just be my phone. Like I don't want to drop down into that. So last Saturday, I think when I sent you that message, I was on my way. There's a place downtown. Okay, so I'll call it out. Really, so there's this coffee shop called Cardinal Press. They make a great coffee. They actually make, hands down for me, the best iced mocha I've ever had. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. I got one midsummer. I actually posted up a black and white photo of me holding it. I was so in love with this mocha and sad when I was done. So I went downtown here, Newmarket. Karen had to run an errand. So I'm like, okay, you know what? There's my opportunity. She was driving. I'm like, great. I don't even have to drive down. So I go down with her. We park. She goes to her appointment and I walk over to Cardinal. And I walk in and the line is four people deep. And as I'm standing there, I'm like, yeah, I'm not having this. Because it was also, no one was really acknowledged. So the only person that was being acknowledged and made to feel like they were in a space, a social space, was the very first person. And this was another phenomenon that I'm just paying more attention to. No one was checking the next person in line. No one was even acknowledging the next person. So you're like in this place, but it's a no space. And all you're laughing. For our listeners, he's laughing. But here's my realization. When I'm actually engaged in my brain, no one gives a shit about me in that moment. And I didn't like that. Now I can engage. I can engage in like, hey, random person at the table, how you doing? And sometimes, and I have another story, but not for today. I do that. You've seen that in me. Like I'll go and I'll kind of chat to someone. Heck, I do it at Walmart when I get my groceries, and you've laughed at that as well. But I think there's something in me to try to make human spaces that suddenly don't feel too human. And just to remind that we are humans in here. It's the system, I don't want to be on that conveyor belt all the time. Sometimes it's useful. So as I'm standing there, I'm like three, four people deep. I'm starting to do the calculus. I'm like, okay, this is going to take a while for me to get there. I'm sort of calculating how long Karen's going to be at her appointment as well. Cause I don't want to make her stand in my line, like waiting for me to sort of get a thing done. And I'm like, this isn't for me right now. So I walk out. As I'm walking out, I give myself the opportunity to think, do I even want a coffee? Or is this just plain pattern of behavior? Because as soon as she said she was going downtown, first thing my brain did was like, I want one of those iced mochas. Like it was just like that. It was a gateway drug. That's what it was. I'm going to get a mocha. You're going downtown? I'll go with you. I'll get a coffee. I could get a coffee. So I knew I still had a little bit of time. So I walked to, there's another coffee shop in our town. They're fairly close to each other within a 5-minute walk, right down where we were sitting, having the fries when we were sitting there, just relaxing. It's called Metropolis and it's a little bit kind of hipster. They're both kind of hipster. And they make a pretty good, vanilla latte, pretty good enough for me to take the walk to as the second best thing that I wanted. But as I'm walking over, I'm like, you know what? It really is about that iced mocha, but I'm already in motion. So I walk over that place, lineup's even longer. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting a coffee. Not getting a coffee. At which point I pull OU and I'm like, okay, this is a thing. I'm done. 30-second lines, 15-minute meetings. I'm going to start really paying attention, which in all of this, bro, is probably the next gen thinking on when we talk about podcasts and the podcast ratio, that's 7 to 10 hours. And then all of a sudden a pod for us is like 2 hours, 1 hour. Where did those other 6 to 9 hours go? And that's a real thing. That's a real bit of my life that I can't account for. So I'm walking up there. I'm like, I'm not going to get a coffee. I'm like, okay, I'm $5 richer. I see Karen come out of the store that she's in and we go home. She's like, how was your coffee? I'm like, didn't get one. She's like, what do you mean you get one? I'm like, the lineup was too long. She goes, what's that even mean? It's going to be longer than 30 seconds. And then of course she's doing what you're doing right now. She's sort of looking at me. She's like, okay, these are things you do. You get these things in your head. We're out. We're out doing something else. The errand that she ran, that she had done in that moment, she wasn't happy with the way it was left. She was thinking about something she wanted to do. So she decided she wanted to go back to that place to sort of like fix the thing. She wasn't happy with the choice that she had made. So I'm like, oh, you're going back downtown. The cycle begins again. I'm like, I'm coming with you. I'll try and get a coffee. Dude, I went in. I walked right to the counter, got my iced mocha. No waiting, no lost time. So this, and believe me, I don't need any reinforcement to get a coffee. I don't. It's so embedded. Like the only thing that will stop me is if my doctor says, really, you need to stop. Like that, I'm that blind. I'm that health blind to this addiction. But that's the, or, you know, it's forever now. 30-second lineup. I'd put that out to you. Just, you know, I remember when, and little sub story, I don't think I ever told you this. In year one of COVID restrictions, where everything was, you know, the three, whatever, the 1 meter spacing. I put a Google Form link app link on my phone, and I was tracking time. I was tracking date and time of how long I was standing in lines waiting to get in places. And it's a funny little reminder when you're in spaces and you can still see the markers on the ground, right? This reminder that, you know, even if I don't want to stand in line for 30 seconds, the system made me stand in lines for 2 years. There was no choice for toilet paper, right? I know it's out there. I like that out there. I appreciate this little bit of out there for me, though.
Okay, so there's like many different directions I can go. And the direction I'm going to choose to go in is I am amused. I mean, I love the way that you build your own perimeter and you're like, this is it, right? And it's invisible to everybody else. Even your wife's laughing, which is awesome, yeah, because Karen, yeah, and I can agree on that, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
funny. Yeah. But so this is where else I'm going to land. I was in church recently. And I was sitting at the end of a pew and I looked over to the floor under the carpet and I could see the sections where there were stickers to tell people how far apart they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I looked down and you can see the mark. So the sticker mark is relatively fresh and then the carpet around it is not. And you can see every 6 feet, you see the mark. And I was like, I called it the mark, the COVID mark. It's like, mm-hmm, those stickers are gone. COVID is over. Well,
that's what I was wondering. Like, are these artifacts of the past? Like, is this like doing archaeology in your own, you know what I mean?
A little bit, but there's still markers. Like when the priest does communion, he's at my church, he's wearing a mask. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm, you know, So basically when he's going to come in close contact with somebody, he puts his mask on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I don't know if he's been asked to do that or if he just chooses to ensure that if people come forward that might not be comfortable, may feel comfortable. I don't know, but it's interesting. It's interesting how society's trying to come out of COVID. Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking about that, but I appreciate you sharing your new perimeter. I like it. Your new operating system, or at least, you know, what you've programmed into it and see how it plays out. And I'm glad that you were able to get your coffee and not have to wait in line at all. That's always a cool thing too. I want to jump to something that kind of lit us both up this week, and I want to address it. We only have 11 minutes, so
do it.
I don't know how deep we're going to go, but there was a tweet this week from an account that both of us saw, and the tweet was saying, now I'm not going to get it right, but I'm going to try to paraphrase as best I can. The tweet was saying that a kid came home from school and told his parents that he couldn't understand the teacher. And the teacher has a thick accent.
Strong
accent. And the tweet was put out to say, like, what should I tell this person who came to me and said, this is my situation, what do I do?
Question from a parent. My child does not understand their teacher.
Good. You found it. Good.
Yeah. She has a very strong accent. What do I tell my child? Now, I'll just to add on to this. So this is posted up from Aunt Special Needs, which is I don't know if it's a, I mean, they have a special, there's a website. It represents, from my measure, interesting and diverse tools and conversation points for exceptional students. So this is posted on something that is a Twitter profile that focuses on supporting exceptional students.
So then you and I, well, I tweeted back and I said, the first thing I said was, it's important to let the child know that they'll most likely get used to the way that the teacher speaks. It just takes a little bit of time. And this is based on my experience. And then the second thing is, you need to talk to the teacher. You need to talk to the individual who you're working with here, because I really feel, I mean, and this, trust me, it's not going to be the first time this teacher has, somebody has brought this to their attention, whether it be students, parents, or just in the outside world, people saying, oh, can you repeat that? I didn't understand. Or I'm not sure what you just said. Can you please say it again? And here's the thing. Yeah, people might take offense. I don't care if you take offense to me telling you that I didn't understand what you just said. Because it's either, and I've been in situations where people talk, we're not even talking accents, and they just say something and I'm polite and I don't say to them, well, I don't even know why I called it polite. I just don't push back. I don't say, I didn't understand you. Can you please repeat yourself? But I'm growing into that more and more because I believe it's important to have that open communication. Because I have found, and I brought this to your attention, as a teacher working with students who are new to the English language, there are things that I've been taught to do to help accommodate them, to help them learn and understand me, right? And that goes for accents too. Slowing down your speech, possibly using hand gestures, like cueing people around certain things. There are things we can do to help people understand, to augment what we're saying. And so at the very least, I'm like, you got to tell the teacher, because this kid's going to school every day. This kid needs to feel comfortable in the classroom, needs to feel comfortable with the teacher in order for good learning to happen. So let them know, hey, my child came home and said he or she's having a hard time understanding you. And it's not a blame thing. It's just like an awareness. So now you're aware, right? And the kid needs to understand that this is part of life, in terms of you're going to meet people who look different, who talk different, who act different. The other day, my son and I, I was taking him somewhere. We're driving down the street. We stop at a stop sign. And there's this individual on the sidewalk. And both my son and I noticed there's something, this gentleman's face was different. There was something, it appeared as though he was missing an eye. And he had it wasn't a patch. You could tell there was skin grafted over the eye area and it looked different. And my son said to me, hey, Dad, did you see that? And I said, yeah, I did see that. What do you think you saw? He said, well, it looked like the man didn't have an eye. And I said, yeah, it looked like that to me too. Like it just looked like there was skin over the eye. Like, and you could tell you could tell something had occurred. Either this person was born this way or something occurred in their life that caused facial damage, and to restore whatever, you could just tell. Something you'd see in a movie. But here we see it literally 30 seconds from our house. And I was like, I milked this for all it was worth. I said, tell me what you think. Tell me how you feel. And he had a lot to say. He's like, well, it certainly looks different. I've never seen anything like that before. And I wonder what happened. And I wonder, this was awesome. He goes, I wonder, like, is it wrong that I wanted to, like, I was staring? I said, it's not wrong. I said, it's different. I said, what is your purpose of staring? He's like, I've never seen it before. My brain is like, what is this? It doesn't register. And I'm like, now imagine that this is your neighbor and you, Jimmy, this is your neighbor, Jimmy, and you see Jimmy every day. What do you think would happen over time? He goes, I just get used to it. That's Jimmy. I'd get to know Jimmy's personality, his family, you know, how he likes to cut his grass. Like my son's saying all this. I'm like, that's awesome, because that's life. You're going to meet different looking people. You're going to meet people who speak differently. You're going to meet You're going to meet a ton of different people. That's one of the beauties of us. We're different. We have similarities, but we also have some differences. And I'm like, how do you think the guy feels about people just staring at him just because of that, because of his face? And he's like, he probably wouldn't like it. And I'm like, maybe he doesn't like it. But I said, you did the right thing by asking me questions. You know, I said, it threw me off too. It's not something you see every day, but let's talk about it. Let's figure it out, what it means to us. And it was a really cool moment with my son, because I could see that he's exploring. He's trying to understand. I remember years ago, we were at the CN Tower when the boys were really young. And there was a young girl in a wheelchair. And I think Ben, my oldest, said to me, "Why, Dad, do you know why she's in a wheelchair?" And she was making sounds. So she wasn't speaking. She was just making sounds. And Ben was, I don't know how old he was, but he was pretty respectful about it. He's like, "Why is she in a wheelchair? And can you tell me why she makes those sounds?" And so Sarah and I started kind of explaining to Ben that she was probably born like that, and she's communicating, and we're trying to explain as best as we can without knowing. And it was awesome. The mother heard us and came over to talk to us about it. And she said to us, "This is my daughter." And she told us her daughter's name. And then she said, "I hear you explaining to your son about it. Can I also share about my daughter?" And we're like, "Yeah, of course." So then this mom and her daughter are like, she's talking to Ben and explaining it and basically thanking him for not saying something negative. Like, she's like, "I could hear everything you were saying. So I appreciate that, you know, you asked." And she's around your age. And it was just like, it was an important moment that doesn't normally happen. And I feel for that mother, that she's like, you know, how often might people look and see the difference and get away from it because of the sounds or whatever? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. My kids, it's important for them to see there is a variety of different people in the world. And it's like, everybody's worthy. And then what they do with that as they grow up is their business, right? But for me, everybody's worthy. Ask questions. If your questions are taken the wrong way, you have no control over that. But if you're being genuine, if this parent is being genuine, if it was my kid, I'd contact the teacher and say, "Hey, my son came home today. He said you have a strong accent. He's having difficulty understanding you. He had a hard time today. I'm letting you know because I don't want this to interfere with him going to school. And maybe you could talk to him about it. Maybe you could talk to the class about your accent and just share like who you are." I mean, these are just suggestions. You don't have to do anything. But at the bottom of all this is, my son doesn't understand what's happening at school. So what can we do to help him with that? And then I would tell my son, deal with it. Like, you need to figure out how to make this work, because that's your teacher and you're going to be with them all year. And you coming home saying every day, "I don't understand," that's not going to fly either. What are you doing to help yourself understand? So let's put this together. That's where I'm coming from. It lit me up, because there's different levels for me. There's like, like you said, the equity piece. There's lots of layers. So I know it's 8:30, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the next 5 minutes to say whatever you want about it. And then I got to punch out.
You covered it. And I appreciate the, like, the compassionate, technical, easy to understand. Like, I get it. Like, this is a good structured approach. You're going to build a relationship and this will get better. One of the things I found surprising how much it lit me up. I think it surprised me. It lit me up because of what it didn't talk about, and none of the responses focused, like, other individuals were offering similar structured kind of responses. And I couldn't get off the the equity side of it. And that was just my, that was my lens. I saw what you and others had said, offering straight up advice. I asked back one question, what grade are we talking about here? And the Twitter handle responded back, you know, grade seven. I think grade seven. I'd always be, so I'm always also very, I'm not wary, but my auto curiosity button goes to, okay, so this is a Twitter, this is a website. There's people behind the website. I'm also aware that sometimes, not sometimes, it's just as likely that this question was never asked and the Twitter handle is just posting this out for conversation, like to generate conversation. Because that whole abstract, a parent asked me or this thing happened in school one day, well, I'm not there. And I guess I have to choose to believe that this question was ever even really asked. But in that moment of sort of like thinking about that, I start to think of more philosophically what's actually at stake in asking this question. And, you know, this Twitter handle decided to post out that the language of a very strong accent, and that's polarizing language. It's also euphemistic language that has been associated in spaces where it's a microaggression term to other someone. Here's a great way just to approach it, build a relationship. On the other hand, it just lit up that part of my brain, like this particular language isn't as neutral as the technical responses we're allowing it to be. Now, again, this was in a special education space. I get the complexities. I get the complexities of any sort of exceptionality that would make understanding expressive communication difficult. I get that. That's part of my life. I've worked in special education departments for as long as I can remember. What it also made me think about, though, is how infrequently we have a conversation that allows us to have both conversations that you and I are talking about. Okay, we get it. The kid is having trouble understanding. Can we also talk about it from an equity perspective here for racialized individuals? Because that's the other thing. That's the very strong accent is specific about racialized individuals. We're not talking about necessarily an instructor that has some sort of impediment to actually being able to form sound. They may have a disability or an exceptionality themselves. So I just thought there was a bigger conversation that this particular quote, this post, was doing a mild disservice to, because it was allowing for people to kind of jump in and jump out with very sort of simplified answers. And this happens all the time. You get lit up about something on Twitter and the conversation just stops. That happens. But I took a note from it, and it's on my list for our next department meeting about my spec ed department, how do we support this on the inside? Because I have no doubt that it has been said. I'm more confident that this has been brought to somebody in my department than this event ever actually occurred in the first place. Only because I don't know Ontario spec ed. I don't know them. So they're either presenting just a convo, they're trying to generate conversation, or it happened. I don't know. So that was my takeaway on that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I don't know. Did I do 5 minutes? I did four. I appreciate that.
You left me time to say, what did you draw today?
Yeah, I don't know. It was tight. I just kind of scribbled.
It's hard to see what it is for me.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's a part of a sphere, some blue, maybe a planet. I don't know.
Maybe a planet. I love
maybe
it.
Maybe a planet. Maybe.
Well, thanks for accommodating me today, Clough, and thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you. Have a fun and a foodie Saturday. I don't have a third F to do on that, but
no worries.
Go do it.
Maybe spend some time with your hat. How's that?
Oh God, that's a story for another time.
Yeah, this was season 6, episode 3. Also,
volume. What do we say? What you got to say something else? Number 201, number 211. So season episode number.
Season 6, episode 3, number 211.
There you go. That's a lot. Peace.